Hi, I'm Andrea.
And I'm Laura Lee. A few years ago, we met randomly and hit it off, only to discover that we had spent several years in our mid-20s together, going to the same university, taking the same courses towards the same degree, but never got to know each other.
Since then, we have lived our lives while growing our careers and our families in different provinces until Laura Lee's family moved and we found ourselves once again in the same place at the same time for a second chance at friendship.
We invite you to listen in as we discover how life can be better with friends.
Maybe we should have Dan on the podcast.
In a week. Yeah, in a week. Give time for the dust to settle, literally.
Gotcha.
Oh my gosh, the dust is everywhere.
Oh, yeah, like
And he
drywall
said it wasn't going to
dust.
be, well, there wasn't a whole lot of drywall, honestly. And he's like, it's not going to get that dusty. We don't really have to cover everything.
But you do have to cover everything.
Everything is just
Oh,
dusty.
that's not great. And it's winter, so you can't have the windows open. And well, I guess that wouldn't necessarily help because then it would just go all over the place.
Just blow it everywhere.
Well, dust everywhere, but you get a new kitchen at the end of this.
True. True. I just like I was totally geared up today for doing a bunch of cleaning
Yeah.
and painting of things that I agreed to do the painting for. I'm going to get to do a bit of painting, but like it's going to be another week probably before I can actually like clean something and have it almost stay clean. I think we'll be seeing dust forever.
Okay, so those of you who have just joined us, which is every one of you, because we started the podcast really weird.
Mid-conversation.
We're just mid conversation. Boom, let's record.
Yeah.
We're just talking about Laura Lee's kitchen renovation, which is almost done, but
Woo!
not but but still not quite as done as they would
Yeah.
like.
Kind of in that disaster right before things start to get better.
Like it's going to get worse before it gets better stage.
Yeah. Actually,
Yeah.
we've turned a corner. We have
Okay.
countertops today.
Yay.
As of today. They're still working on it, and honestly, the fumes are quite strong.
Okay.
So, if something goes really crazy, I'm blaming the fumes.
The fumes? Sure. That's my go-to excuse. Whether
Yeah.
there's fumes or not. What kind of countertop did you get? Did you get a Corian or?
We got quartz. It's called white birch. It's basically white. It has a bit of gray and blackish veining through it.
Okay.
And there's a waterfall edge on the one side that faces the family room or
The
whatever
money
you want to
shot.
call that little space. Yeah.
The money shot.
Sure. So
That's nice.
it's quite large, this island. I was showing pictures to Fran and Rhonda this morning, and I'm like,
Yeah.
I think we could use it as a double bed if we ever needed an extra
Just
bedroom at some
slap a
point.
mattress on top.
Just slap it on top. I mean, getting out of bed in the morning to use the washroom would be bit of a
Right, you'd
We'd
need a
have to put
step stool.
stairs or something, yeah. But
Okay.
yeah, it's quite large.
Wow.
So, yeah.
My countertop is like 50 years old because it's the original one and it is lifting in spots and it needs to be replaced. But my cabinets are not the standard depth, so I can't just put a new countertop on there. I
Oh,
need new
poop.
cabinets. Yeah, so it's a whole thing. But I really like it because it's like that old-timey white laminate with like speckles in it. Like
Okay.
it's got speckles in it and it's got some gold is it gold flecks? I don't know. It's got some kind of flecky thing in it and it looks really retro. And so when I actually do replace it, which I don't know when that will be, but I do kind of want to keep the sort of old-timey look. I don't know if that exists anymore.
I really used to enjoy the boomerang pattern that used to be one of the original. I think it might have actually been a Formica,
Okay.
brand pattern.
Yeah.
Do you recall the boomerang? And they have redone it recently. Maybe not super recently, but recently enough.
Yeah.
And recolored it and stuff. And I still kind of find that fun for a retro vibe. But
I used to be really good at naming laminate patterns. Unfortunately, that was like my claim to fame. I was like, oh, yeah, I know that one. That's crayon box or whatever.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that knowledge has left my brain. Just vacated the premises. Because more important stuff filtered in, like, I don't know, taking care of my kid.
Yeah. Also, probably none of those patterns exist anymore, so you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and it's not very useful knowledge in today's career. No one cares.
Right.
Nobody cares.
Oh, yeah. That's sad.
Yeah. So how are you doing besides the kitchen reno and stuff?
Okay.
Works okay?
Let me tell you. Works okay. Yeah. That's, yeah. All systems are go.
All systems go. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let us talk about books/TV shows that you enjoy recently. Any new ones? Any new ones that have popped up since last recording?
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I'm currently in the middle of 3 books.
Okay, we need to talk about that too.
Okay. I figured you might have a comment about that. Actually, to be fair, I probably have 6 on the go.
Really?
Yeah. Sometimes I think I'm going to learn stuff, so then I start nonfiction books, and then I'm never super motivated to read them because I just, at the end of a day, I don't want to learn something.
Yeah, I know. Just, it's like, don't teach me anything, please.
Veg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I used to be a multiple book reader, at like multiple books at a time reader. And I had to stop that for my own sanity, just because I wasn't getting any of them done. Like, I wasn't making progress on like any of them. So I made a rule. By rule, I mean a little bit more of a personal guideline, that I could read one nonfiction and one fiction book at the same time, because those kind of use different parts of my brain, is how I.
Sure.
And then that seemed to help a little bit. But then I also gave myself permission to not really like nonfiction books. I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
I don't really like them. I want a story.
Yeah.
I want to read to be entertained. I want to read to relax. Yeah. I don't want to read to learn necessarily. So anyway, that's me. Please tell me about you.
Okay. So here's the situation. One book I'm reading with Jaden at night.
Okay. That's fair.
It's called The Mysterious Benedict Society. It had a lot of raves. Apparently it's a series. Yep. I don't know that we're going to go to book number 2.
Oh.
I am finding it a hard slog.
And what is Jaden?
Anywho. He enjoys it. Okay. I mean, there are some funny parts, and it's okay. It's just, it's really weird.
Okay.
It's really strange. And not like in a super fun way. It kind of is reminiscent of something like 1984, or where like you feel like there's this dystopian thing happening, but you're not really sure what it is.
Okay.
It's kind of written in an old timey kind of way. Like, I'm not really sure what year we're in.
Okay.
I want to say maybe the 50s or 60s. Like, it just is kind of weird. I'm not really sure what it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe at the end when things wrap up, it'll be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I get
right
it.
Now it's
how far
strange.
How far are you in it?
We're halfway. It's a thick book.
Okay.
It is thick. Like, it's a good 1.5 to 2 inches thick.
Wow.
Of a trade paper size.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so that's one. Yeah. And then I've got a couple books about dyslexia that I've been trying to read. One is like a trying to understand how it works and maybe give some study kind of helps. Mm-hmm. And another one is people with dyslexia who have really thrived and used it to their advantage.
Oh, cool.
And I thought that would be a really cool book to read to Olivia, just to have, you know, her be encouraged and to see the positives to dyslexia, because it's very written from a very pro dyslexia, like you've been given a gift kind of a thing.
Okay,
like,
cool.
It might seem like you got the short end of the stick or whatever, but you really, these special traits can help you do so much.
Wow.
So anyway, and I read one chapter to her. I actually thought, like, it's nonfiction, but it's interesting.
Okay.
You know, like, it reads like a story is what I'm trying to say.
Yep.
And I really enjoyed reading the first chapter to her, but she was not enthused. And I'm going to see if I can find the name of it. But I think, like, it's a good read, and I really should get on with it.
Yeah.
The one that is more knowledge based is called the dyslexic advantage. And that one is, oh, I didn't add it to my list. Okay. So I'll have to just add it to the show notes, this other one.
Sure.
The regular one.
Sure.
Anyway, or I could look it up on my library app. But then I am reading The Defector.
Right. Is it good so far?
Which is good, but it is very airline or like jet fighter technical.
Oh. Okay.
And I think Dan is going to enjoy it a lot more than I am, because I just feel like,
yeah,
it's not really my world. Okay. It's above, like, over my head in a lot of cases. And there's a lot of like, like kind of like there's two parallel stories happening. There's some politics, and I like, that's not really my jam.
Okay.
Yeah. Whereas that's his jam. Like, he loves to read about like spies and international events and whatever. I think he's just going to find the whole thing a lot more.
So I would probably enjoy it more than you, because that's kind of my jam too. I mean, not the technical stuff, but like the politics and the intrigue and the mystery and stuff like that. I like that stuff.
Yeah.
So,
cool. Okay, so I looked in my library app, and this is the other book. It's called Creative, Successful, Dyslexic.
Oh, cool.
23 high achievers share their stories.
Nice.
So, yeah. And then in the car, I'm listening to Finding Audrey, which is a fiction young adult novel by Sophie Kinsella.
Okay.
She wrote all the Shopaholic series, if you've ever heard of.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Shopaholic and Sister and Shopaholic, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So this one is a book about a young woman. I think she's probably in high school, who has a severe anxiety disorder.
Okay.
And it's quite interesting and a little bit funny. Yeah. Okay. And then I'm reading The Defector, and then I started reading The Zoo with Olivia Zoo. It's just called Zoo. It's by James Patterson. I was going to give it to you.
Yeah.
And you thought, nope, that looks scary. And it is a little scary, but I like it. So it's super, if you need a book that's quick paced and short chapters, that's the book.
Yeah.
The chapters are like 2 pages long. Like,
wow.
It's a great lunch hour read, or
because when you're tired, I'm just gonna finish the chapter, it might only be another 2 minutes instead of like nice.
So, or even like if you're tired but you just want to read a little bit, but you don't want to get sucked into a 30 page chapter. It's amazing how that psychologically is like, oh, this chapter's 30 pages, I'm never gonna get through it. As opposed to this one's just 2 pages.
Yeah.
I can read 4 chapters.
Yeah. Sometimes I find, but if it depends on the pace of the book though, too, because I think if short chapters are good at moving the story along, but sometimes it can feel a little disjointed to me. Like it moves from one thing too fast. Like it's a little bit more of like a snap, like different flashes of scenes or something like that. I find it a little.
Yeah.
Depends on the pace of the book, I think. But for me, you know. But
can we
normalize slow reading? Because the reason I say this is because at the end of the year, like especially on Facebook and Instagram, everyone's like, I read 156 books to this year. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Don't you watch TV like ever? You just read?
Yeah.
But I'm still reading Malibu Rising. That I started over the Christmas break. So I've been reading it for about a month now, but I'm almost done and it's really good. I'm enjoying it. It's going at a good pace, should we just say like, it's okay just to read slowly.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
And also I would bet that a lot of those people who read 150 books
are doing audiobooks.
Listening to audiobooks.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Because honestly, I don't know how much time you have in the day. Like, I feel like I read a fair amount.
Yeah.
But I don't read as much as I'd like to. And I think I made it to 49 books.
Oh, okay.
My goal was 50.
Yeah.
I don't think I finished the 50th until like the first week of January. I probably finished it over the probably over the New Year's break.
Okay.
And didn't count.
Yeah.
As my 50th book, 2023.
Yeah.
But I will listen to audiobooks at 1.25 speed.
Okay. Yeah.
Because sometimes I find that the person reading is just too slow.
Like, yeah. The narrator makes a difference for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So often I will bump it up just that 0.25 and then it just sounds like it flows better.
Yeah.
Or if it's a book that I'm not entirely sure that I like.
Yeah.
Like, let's just skip to the end, but I can't like not finish it. So then I'll listen to it really quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually have listened to two or three audiobooks since like December-ish, and I really enjoyed it. So maybe I'll just add a couple of those to the list as well, like when I'm driving or something like that. Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And once the weather turns to be less like -50, if you want to resume your walking, which I'm assuming you're not doing because it has been
I have been using my bike.
Oh, good for you.
It usually is just sat there as a decoration in the middle of my living room, but I have been getting on my bike after work and pedaling for however long.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So then, like, I find sometimes at the end of a long day, I don't really feel like walking the dog, but if I have something interesting to listen to.
Yes. Makes a big difference.
I will. Yeah. It seems more like me time.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, I listened to a brand new podcast this week that was quite interesting. It's, I think it's called A Woman Like You.
Oh.
And of course it is not in my recently opened things on my phone. A Woman Like You. Yes. It is hosted by someone named Jennifer Reed. And the reason I listened to it is because she interviewed Courtney Wilson.
Okay.
Who is, I think she's still Canadian. Maybe she's American now.
Oh.
Not really sure.
Yeah.
She was the show Masters of Flip.
Oh, yeah. And Flip This House, right? Wasn't she Flip This House as well?
No, Masters of Flip and then Making It Home.
Oh, okay.
Is her newest
show.
She also does a lot of brand
The Brick
stuff for like
she's got a whole line at The Brick.
Yeah. So she and her first husband, Dave, got divorced a few years ago. And it seemed like such a shock because if you watch the shows, they always seem to have a very good relationship and a very loving, caring kind of, you know, whatever. And so it seemed like quite a shock when they got divorced. So on this podcast, she was discussing divorce and hope after divorce. And she got into a little bit of what had happened, but not like,
she didn't spill the tea
in depth at all. No. And then talked about dating after divorce.
Oh.
And now she's at the time of the podcast, she was just engaged. Now she's been married for
couple months
already.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
You know, so this was probably recorded quite a while ago, but, it was very interesting. I might listen to the podcast again, but to be honest, the draw was that Courtney Wilson was on it. And I was very curious to know what happened there because it just kind of seemed
out of the blue,
out of left field.
Yeah. You never know what happens between a couple, you know, behind closed doors.
Right.
Well, even just when the cameras are off, right? Because it's, I mean, when your financial success depends on your dynamic with your husband, and then you're going through a rough time, like you're like, I kind of need this to work, so we're gonna do what we have to do to make it through, make it genuine, you know, put it on for the cameras. I watched Bletchley Circle yesterday on a Prime Video.
Okay.
It's set in like after World War II in England. And it's about these four girls who during the war worked in intelligence and they would like crack codes and stuff like that, which I kind of like that spy stuff or whatever. But after the war, they like go and do their own lives. Like one of them gets married and is a housewife and the other one gets into an abusive marriage. Anyway, so they have lives after the war. But then there's a murder that happens in London and a serial murder keeps happening. Well, obviously that's the definition.
That's how they work. Yep.
I'm sorry. Anyway, a serial murderer is in London and one of the girls starts trying to figure out who it is, and she tries to start putting the pieces together, and she gets the whole group back together, and they work on finding out who the serial killer is. But it's really interesting because it's set in the time when women were like housewives, like they weren't, their brains were not an attribute,
right,
that people admired and looked for, right? So it's like these women who like basically figured it out before the police did. Anyway, it was really interesting. There's a couple seasons, and then there's I think there's two seasons on Prime Video, and then there's a spinoff for Bletchley Circle in San Francisco. So I'm gonna watch that because I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah,
we have two episodes left of Rizzoli and Isles, and then we're gonna be looking for a drama. So maybe.
Oh.
Well, actually, well,
this was what
I think a lot of the new like the. The seasons that have been delayed because of the writer's strike are coming out now.
Yeah.
So maybe.
Oh, we'll have, I was really excited. Law and Order is back on, which I'm very excited about.
Okay.
But Law and Order, Criminal Intent, Toronto is coming next month.
Oh.
They're adding another one. And I'm like, you're adding another one? Now I have 4 hours of Law and Order to watch every week. Like, oof. That's a lot of Law and Order.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then. Yeah, but anyway, I'm excited about that one because I like the Criminal Intent versions when they like it goes a little bit more into the psychology of why people are doing things. And okay. Anyway, yeah, so I'm pretty excited.
All right,
that's not until February though. Okay. So although I could, what I could do is I could just choose not to watch a couple of episodes and then binge them over the summer or something right. Like that. That's entirely possible.
Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Switching gears. Because we have a couple topics to discuss.
Okay.
I don't know if you, I sent them to you yesterday, so I don't know if you did anything
you did.
About it.
I was giving one of those questions an awful lot of thought, and the other ones, I okay. don't know that I gave enough thought to, but.
Okay. Let's honor your effort and okay. start with the one that you thought about the most, which I don't know what it is, so you're going to have to tell me.
Okay. I'm going to go into how you worded it.
You made notes.
No, I just want to read how you worded it.
Oh. Okay.
This one was, if you could jump into a new career on Monday, what would you be excited to do? I really had to give this a lot of thought.
Oh. Okay.
And I was really thinking like, what if I, you know, come up with something and then I could just actually change my career to that? Because, you know, I'm not really sure that where I'm at right now is somewhere I want to be forever.
Yeah.
I've actually been looking at a lot of interior design jobs and within firms in Calgary. There's one in particular that has seemed interesting just because I feel like the culture of the firm is really good and, you know, whatever. They really seem to value their people, which would be a refreshing change. but I really can't. There's something holding me back from doing that, and I think it's just I feel a little burnt out from that whole thing.
Yeah.
And my current job is mostly what I bring to it. I can be as creative with it as I'd like to be.
Yeah.
I don't bring it home at the end of the day.
That's huge.
Yeah. The only problem with it is that there was a salary discrepancy.
Gotcha.
So I'm not making as much as I could if I was at a firm.
Right.
And so that's kind of a, if I'm going to be 9 to 5 somewhere, maybe I should be earning my potential, right?
Yeah.
Anywho, but mental well-being is also very important.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But what I really thought would be fun, and we're just like, I'm just picking from whatever because this is just an imaginary question.
It is.
Every once in a while, I see on Instagram someone doing something very creative, whether it is pottery or a painting technique or just some kind of creative outlet. And I'll look at that and I'll like often like resin. Stuff is super interesting.
Yeah.
And there's an organicness to it that just sort of, you know, the style, that's the style I'm attracted to, is something that is sort of a little rougher around the edges, not super, super perfect.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of, you just kind of see what happens when the process is finished. And I just like that not really knowing how it's going to turn out and, you know, that kind of aspect of it. And I think, man, that would be fun to do. Okay. And I would never get bored because it would be
new all the time.
Every day. It would be a new kind of like experiment.
Yeah.
And you could add new things to it or do it in different ways or add different colors or whatever.
You'd be a professional artist.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's what I would do.
Okay. Well, you could probably incorporate a small part of that in your life this year.
I could, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have this big space over our sectional in the basement that needs art.
Oh.
I was like, why don't I make it? Why would I not do that instead of buying something that doesn't really have any emotional connection?
You would have to buy the supplies, but
yeah. But it would be, because it's such a huge space, anything that I've looked at either that I like is too small or way too expensive for the scale.
Right. Right. I was scrolling Instagram and I saw a little snippet of someone doing something with resin. And what they had done is it was a floor that had a chip in it. Some part of the flooring had chipped out somehow, but it was probably about half an inch deep. And what she did was she painted it blue. And then she poured resin in it. And then she put a little koi fish inside. So it was like this, like the floor. And then there was just like this little koi pond, this little miniature koi pond in there. It was so cute. Yeah.
Yeah. I just think there's so many interesting creative things out there to do. So many really niche things. Like it's just amazing. Some of the stuff people come up with.
Yeah.
And some of the things I would have no business doing. Like it would just be no clue. But other ones, I'm like, I could totally do that. Like, okay, so there's this one. This artist had a huge canvas. It was probably 6 foot by 6 foot.
Wow.
Whatever, it was on the floor of the studio.
Yeah.
She had only one color of paint and an old-timey mop. And she filled her old-timey mop with this paint. It was like black.
Yeah.
And she kind of, I don't even remember now how she did it now. She kind of just twirled the mop and slammed it on the canvas.
Wow.
And it creates really cool, like splash of color. And it was just like black and white but very dramatic. And it took her all of like 10 seconds. She probably sold it for $1,000. Like it's just amazing, right?
Yeah. That sounds cool.
It's insane.
And it's therapy too, right? Like being able to create stuff like that. Yeah. I would. Okay. So if I could jump into a new career on Monday, I would be excited to be, I've always wanted to be a psychologist.
Ooh.
Yeah. But I don't know if I'd be excited about doing that. I don't know.
It seems like a very interesting field.
Yes, it does seem very interesting. And when I say jump into it, I do mean jump into it, like not have to go through all the schooling and not have to go through the licensing. If I could just walk into an office one day and be a psychologist, mm-hmm. I think I would enjoy that. But I also one of the other questions I asked you was, what is one thing that you could add to your life to make your life better, and one thing that you could take away from your life this year to make your year better? And for me, adding one thing, I think I want to take watercolor class. That keeps coming up for me.
Okay.
I want to take a watercolor class. I'd like to be an artist. I'd like to add artist to my list of things that I am this year, along with 50.
Which you can now check successfully off your list.
Yes, I have turned 50. Yes. Mm.
I thought that for my ad, I'm not sure if I have a subtract, but for my ad, I would like to do a date night with Dan a little more frequently. Mm,
yeah.
I feel like we've got a very solid every 2 years game night, date night
plan. That's not good.
And maybe we need to bump that up a little bit.
You know what? A friend of mine, what she and her husband have started doing, and she's posting on Facebook, is they're doing alphabet dating. So they... Like, so if you go through the alphabet, the first, you pick something with an A and you do a date that is an A, like maybe it's African restaurant or something like that, you know, try something like that. And maybe
that's fun.
Maybe if you had like a theme, that would, it would be a little bit easier to, or more exciting to walk through. You're like, we're going to walk through half the alphabet this year. We're going to go on one date a month, and it's going to A, B, C, D, E, F, G, well, the way to whatever the 12th letter of the alphabet is. Because I don't know without counting on my fingers, but yeah, just a thought.
I had seen a post yesterday by an actress that I cannot remember the name of, but she is in The Vampire Diaries, and she was in Degrassi.
Oh.
First one. Nina Dobrev, that's her name.
Okay.
And she is dating the ginger Olympic skier from Canada.
Oh, okay.
They're both Canadian.
Okay. I don't know who that
is. Anywho. Like he was like that crazy freestyle or snowboarder. I don't know. Anywho. Details. Facts. So anyways, they've been dating for 4 years or something, and they alternate planning the date night.
Oh, would that make a difference for you guys?
Well, maybe, because I think if I'm planning it, it's always going to be dinner and a movie. Although I like the alphabet aspect, because that would create a challenge, but also a place to start.
A place to start. Yeah. Ah, dinner and a movie starts with A as well. So just
saying. Perfect.
Yeah.
And it, the problem is, I think we usually think it has to be a big deal.
Yeah.
Like it has to be a 3-hour event or something. Honestly, we could just go for a walk in a park or something.
Yeah.
Like it wouldn't have to be big and expensive.
Or just go for a coffee date.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
Could even go for a shopping date somewhere. Like if we needed to get something for the house. I don't know.
When I was dating back in the olden days, walking around Home Depot or IKEA or Costco, I was like, woohoo. I mean, and then after Costco, you can get some cheap pizza after. So, I mean, I love a chore date. Like, yeah, walk with me while I get milk. That'd be great. Yeah.
So, and I don't know, take away. I don't know. Okay. Do you have something you can take away? You were adding watercolor, but did you have a takeaway? Yeah,
I didn't. Okay, so what I've decided to do, though, this is kind of a takeaway, but it's pushing the definition a little bit far. But that's okay. It's our podcast. We can do what we want. I have decided that, and like I said, it's not a rule. It's just a guideline. But most of the time, most of the weekends of the month, I'm going to stay home at least one evening on the weekend. Like I'm considering Friday, Saturday, Sunday night. Just one of those three nights I have to be at home. I was just feeling, I think I'm still recovering from sort of the Christmas holidays where I was out all the time. I was just feeling a little bit,
it
was a little bit too much of the outness. I need to stay at home with myself. One out
You're
of
gonna date three yourself. Nights.
I am, really, honestly. Yeah, I'm a good time, so I'm not gonna worry about it. But yeah, most of the time. I mean, sometimes it's not gonna work out, and that's fine. But yeah, I'm just gonna intentionally stay home a little bit more this year. We'll see how that goes. I can update that in a couple months. I don't know how that's gonna work, but yeah,
sounds good.
Yeah. All right.
Well, that's been a fun chat.
It has.
Oh.
Oh,
but I have a word of the day for you.
Oh, I almost forgot. Yes, word of the day.
My kids will check on me. Do you know what this little piece of skin is called on your elbow?
No, the wobble part. Wibble?
Yeah.
Wibble? Wobble?
You're very close. You're very close. It's called the weenus.
No, it's not. Really?
Apparently it is. I mean, that's not the medical term. I think it's an Urban Dictionary term.
How do you spell that?
W-E-E-N-U-S.
U-S?
It reminds me of Matthew Perry. Chandler used to always have to produce the weenus every month, didn't he, for his job?
What? I do not remember that.
Oh, okay, hang on. It's a Google search moment. Chandler, I can't remember, but it was weekly. Oh, maybe it was weekly then, hey? Chandler...
My sister, when she was little, used to always suck her thumb and play with my mom's, I don't want to say it, the elbow skin. Because it was so soft, right? So she would suck, it was like a little security blanket.
Okay. It stands for Weekly Estimated Net Usage Statistics.
Yeah, so not that.
Yeah.
No.
That was Friends. But
so is this something your kids learned in school?
I think we had to look it up last night. Olivia and I were, I don't know, just hanging out and tickling each other or something. And
oh, I hate being tickled.
She's, you know, that part has a name. And I'm like, what on earth? So we had to look it up. And I mean, it has a much more medical name, but it's not nearly as much.
No, weenus is pretty good. Hate being tickled. I hate it so much. I get so angry, but I am also laughing, but I'm laughing in rage. When Isaac will try to tickle me, I'm like, do not try to tickle. Like, I get violently angry. If I had a knife and someone was tickling me, I would stab them through the heart. Like,
I feel that way about my feet, but nowhere else.
Really?
Like, I'm not really ticklish anywhere else except for my feet.
Okay.
And I kind of go into almost panic mode when someone holds onto my foot in with the intention of tickle, because I just feel trapped and like I'm going to die. And I get
into
it.
Like, I wonder if it's panic that I'm feeling instead of rage. But yeah.
So it could be, but I feel exactly the same. I'm like, stop it. I'm going to kick you in the head.
Yeah. I
can't be held responsible for what I do.
Isaac tries to tickle me sometimes and I'm like, do not. Yeah. He says, but you're laughing. You like it. I'm like, that's not what this means. It means I'm about to kill you dead.
And on that note, have a great week.
Thanks. You too, Lorelei. Talk to you later.
Thanks.
Bye. Okay.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and that it sparks new conversations with friends in your life.
Please follow and subscribe to Better With Friends wherever you listen to podcasts, and tell your friends too. We'd appreciate a 5-star rating and a nice review.
We are on Instagram at betterwithfriends.pod, and you can email us at betterwithfriends@outlook.com. We would really love to connect with you. Until next time,
bye!